From the RentersWarehouse.com studio, the TomBernardShow.com, our special guest, Bob Marley. And by the way, Bob, you must get so goddamn tired of it.
It wasn't until I was about 13. And then he had become famous in the States. Right. And so then it started. And I was like, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. Like in seventh grade. I'm a junior. So my dad, Irish guy, 6'3", 360 pounds, sweaty most of the time, angry. People would say things to him about it. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I have no idea what's going on. My mother's like, what is it, Bob? What are they talking about? And he's like, I don't know, Masha. Get back in the thing.
I like Masha.
Yeah, do something.
What neighborhood?
I grew up in Maine. And we live, you know, it's all Irish people, you know, New England, a lot of New England is miserable, dried up Irish people.
Whereabouts in Maine?
Portland area, okay. Bangor area, then the Portland area, and, you know, and then lived there and then went to Boston for a couple of years, which is, you know, those people are very uplifting.
Yes, very uplifting. But the Irish, you're the wrong kind of Irishman, get out of my neighborhood.
Cold, miserable. All of New England's the same. I mean, Minnesota, you guys are, everybody's so nice here.
No.
But it's like the same type of nice. You know, how you doing? Yeah, I'm good, good, good. And then you start digging a little more. I mean, how are we not miserable people, like, getting through the winter and, you know, my uncle, we have relatives that go to Florida every year for the winter.
Right.
The snowbirds.
Right.
And basically speaking, we hate those people. People like us that stay here, we right. really hate those people. So every year at Thanksgiving, my aunt and uncle come over. And my aunt sits there, and they're leaving the Friday after Thanksgiving. So, I mean, the Monday after Thanksgiving, my aunt sits there, and she goes, oh, so cold in here.
Oh, God.
Bobby, is the heat on? I'm like, yep, it's on 48 or something. We don't crank it up till MLK Day.
In January, you know.
And my uncle's sitting, and this is what she says. She goes, I don't know how you people do this year-round. I'll go, let me enlighten you. We don't have enough disposable cash to buy another house in Florida. And we've got three kids in school, so we kind of have to be here, you sea hag.
Well, sea hag was nice, yeah.
Right. So my uncle's sitting, and he goes, Bob, I was recently reading in the Harvidian Time Journal Time Harvidians. It said that Maine had one of the highest prevalences of alcoholism in the United States. Now, why is that? I said, well, why don't you stay for the whole winter and you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, walking around with our milky white legs and tube sock lines on our shins, bunch of cracked yellow toenails that barely made it through January. Are you kidding me? Why do we drink? Why wouldn't we drink?
Same here. Same in Wisconsin. All of it.
It's painful. It's painful to just sit there all winter and sit inside and stare at each other and play games like, what's that smell?
Yeah.
Who's going to gain the most amount of weight?
Did you play hot? Well, actually, we need to take a break.
Yeah.
Just for 60 seconds. We'll be right back. Bob Marley's at the House of Comedy all weekend long. We'll be back with Bob in just 60 seconds. Well, about 90 seconds, because Doug's going to talk about Walser Automotive, too, right after this. Be back in 90 seconds from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, TomBernardShow.com.
Hi, Tom here from my friends at Renters Warehouse. Are you considering a move soon? Need to relocate, combine households, or just don't want to pay your mortgage anymore? Forget the hassle of selling your home. Why risk getting less than your asking price? Find out what your home will rent for instead. Renters Warehouse can help you perfectly price your property and rent out your home easy, fast, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. And for only $80 a month, their professional landlords will manage your property 24/7, including rent collection, maintenance, inspections, tax paperwork, and more. They'll even warranty your renters for up to 9 months, meaning if for any reason the tenant doesn't stay, Renters Warehouse will replace that tenant for free. There are no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. It sounds like a great deal because it is. Go to RentersWarehouse.com right now for a free rental price analysis to see what your home will rent for today. Call 952-470-8888. Again, 952-470-8888 or visit renterswarehouse.com. Renters Warehouse, the professional landlord.
We have to talk about that. We get something to talk about right after Doug Sprinthal.
I'm going
to
go quick because I'd rather talk about that than some cars.
Walser Automotive Group, walser.com. No, but you should talk about the fact. I like the research you've done. And I'm sure Bob and Tevin would like. And by the way, Tevin joins us for the first time in studio. He's here every week. But we used to have like 9 people that would come in at once.
Yeah.
So there was never anywhere to sit.
I'll say, yeah, he made me sit outside all the time.
I did not make you. I didn't make you sit outside.
I had to stay outside.
I'm not Donald Sterling.
I mean, come on. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
We could tell it in your body language.
That's right, exactly. I like how you fly the company colors, by the way. That black and blue, that's a good look, man.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's just a gift.
He picked me up in the vehicle. It's completely shrink wrapped with the House of Comedy logo on it, and I was like, right, out in front of the hotel. I go, I wasn't sure which one was you.
I followed you down Cedar Avenue last Thursday. I'm like, oh, that must be them.
Me, Tevin.
Jay Farrell was in that car, I bet.
So, where did you find this research about car buying?
It was on the interweb.
Interweb. Okay.
It was just an article. Actually, the marketing director sent it to me, and I'm like, this is perfect. Because I had to write the spot for today, and I had no idea what to do. And it was an article by Edmunds, big car researching company, that says that people would rather give up sex than negotiate a car deal. And it was really funny. It was tongue-in-cheek, and it went on and on. And some people, 30% would rather spend the day at the DMV or sit in the middle seat on an airline. So
it can be bad, right? I mean, it's
terrible.
Like, I don't like doing it. There's always the go-to. Let me go to my manager. So, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he's always true. In the other room, in the glass room, and he smells a little better than the other guy. His name's like Scotty. Usually having an affair with a woman at Applebee's.
Years ago, I used to be that guy. I've been in the car business for 30 years, and Walser, the group I work for, went to one price and no negotiating 10 years ago, which is the way to do it.
That's unbelievable. That's the way it should be done.
I agree.
Years ago, I was in my office one day, and I'm just having a shitty day, and I'm busier than hell, and this guy comes in, and you get customers like this about once a week, and he wants to, I don't want to talk to the sales manager. I don't want to talk to any salespeople. And I'm in a terrible mood.
Right.
So I said, hey, come here, sit down. Let me tell you something. You know how a guy gets like me gets the job? Because I sell more cars at more profit than any of these other guys on the show floor. Do you really want me to sell you a car? And he goes, no, I think I'll go up there.
Well, here's the other thing, too, because I just bought a couple new vehicles at the end of the year. We had to finally break down and do it, and people don't realize, you know, that the car dealership, believe it or not, they do have to make money.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
It is. Come on, you know. Yeah, it's a miserable process. But.
It is, and that's why we change stuff. Walser used to be no different than anybody else. They try to make as much money on everybody as they can, and then they got smart and said, you know, if we make a lot of times, it's going to add up to a bigger pile, and people will be happy. So
they don't negotiate.
Nope.
Okay.
All the prices, we discount everything. They're online. We even sell cars online now.
That's awesome.
And Minneapolis is weird. Because we did it, some of the other competitors started to follow. So people in this market are fairly used to it.
Yep.
But in the rest of the country – and I'm from New England originally. So.
Where are you from originally?
Well, I was born in Pawtucket, grew up in Lexington, spent all my summers in Rockland.
Nice. Up in Maine.
Yep.
My mother's 73. She needed a new car. And she said, you have to go with me. I can't do it. They're afraid.
Oh, I don't blame them.
People are afraid if they have to do the bartering.
Yeah, because they only do it every 4 or 5 years, and they're shitty at it, and they get nervous, and they get pissed off. And
Cool.
How do you do this to me every week?
What?
You said a 10-fucking-minute conversation
with my new friend Bob. Yeah,
10-minute commercial for Walser Automotive Group.
That's remember great, after the though. First commercial when it was just the three of us and you said, well, shit, that wasn't very long. It was only 20 seconds. And what did I say?
Yeah.
I'll find a way to kind of interject it later into the show.
So you talked to Bob when I wasn't looking. Said, hey, listen, we're going to talk some cars. And...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My mother goes, I don't know what bottom rust-oleum is, but I bought that. Like, I don't know what it is either, Ma. I don't know.
Bottom rust.
Another word for water.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
water.
Man.
I like water. We have something interesting to talk about with Bob Marley, which I don't think we've ever met before.
No, we haven't. No.
You're going to be on the KQ Morning Show tomorrow. KQRS. I've worked there for 29 years. And there was a woman that used to work there, legendary woman, who now lives in Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
We just found out literally just now that Bob and I have a very close friend in common in Randy Kirschbaum, Killer Kirschbaum.
Yeah, that's funny you call her Killer Kirschbaum.
That was her radio
name. Never known her by that moniker. It's always just been Randy. She's a sweetheart.
Right. Yep.
And I've known her for years in the Portland market. I've been on that her radio stations a million times over there in Portland. She's a sweetheart. Yeah, she does a great job. She's based out of there. Now, she went from this climate to Maine, which is basically the same climate.
Same.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, but I think she got the title of only Jew in Maine.
Right.
I think.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Well,
right.
in the winter.
Right.
We're back to that again, yeah.
Those 3 months they leave and head out. But
tomorrow morning because you're going to be on the KQ Morning Show tomorrow morning, right?
Yep. 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where she worked. She was
cool.
One of the original.
I'll have to take a picture and send it over to her.
I'll
tweet it.
Randy, we should call Randy right now is what we should do. Randy, get off your ass and call him.
That'd be great.
She's just a sweetheart of a woman. Always loved her.
And she was always great to me, especially in the beginning, because you would put me on. And like, when you're a comedian, you're new on the radio, like you don't have no idea what you're doing. Like,
right.
You know, you're out there and you're just, you know, I guess I can't drop the F-bomb like I did at the club. You know,
we can on podcast. That's a good thing about podcast.
Yeah, like I took it out of my act. Tevin and I were talking on the way over. Like I recorded a set that I did like, I don't know, 12 years ago, and I did a theater show, and I was like effing bomb every effing. And so I was like, I listened to it. It didn't sound offensive because like when you're from New England, it's more of an adjective,
right?
Like it's like it's cold out. You know, it doesn't sound aggressive or angry. You know, but it sounded like lazy comedy. So I was like, I took it out. It's great when you take that out because the other words that you put in sometimes are much more funny, you know. And then when you go on TV and stuff, you don't have any problem replacing those words. About a year ago, I did the Jimmy Fallon show, and he's in New York, as you know. So
right.
I'm at my mother's house sitting over there with all my Irish Catholic aunts in the living room. It's completely miserable. They're all looking at each other with the rocking motion back and forth, the disapproving facial look, usually rubbing a knee and the ankle helicopter move and staring at each other. I'm like, nobody's going to say anything. This is awful. So my mother goes, where are you off to this week, Bobby? Let me dream a little. Let me vicariate. I said, I'm going to New York. I'm going to go down and do the Jimmy Fallon show. And she goes, oh, Jesus, look at him, Teresa. Huh? Look at him. Someone's going to New York. I've never been, you know. And I said, well, maybe you'll get down there at some point, Ma. You know, Greyhound has a bus.
Sure.
Maybe it'll work out.
Your father was going to bring me, but your father died. He died.
Oh, my God. And now all my aunts are looking at me. They're eyeballing me. Like, this guy, you know, come on. Man up.
Man, absolutely. Take your mother.
I said, well, pack your stuff because you're obviously going now, Mom. And why don't you pack some of that Irish Catholic guilt along with you so
put
you can distribute, you know, along the way. So I go. She calls me up the next morning, and she goes, can you come over and weigh my suitcase? I said, I can, but we are driving. So I'm pretty sure they're not going to stop us on 95 South and look through your items.
The Connecticut border.
Right.
Yes, the Connecticut border.
So I get over there. I lift the suitcase up. I'm like, is Dad in here? What's in this thing? And she goes, I brought a box of Tums and 2 gallons of Imodium. Which is what we all want to hear from somebody that you might share a hotel room with. She's bringing 2 gallons of anti-diarrhea medication.
How long is the drive?
About 5 hours.
And she's bringing Tums and Imodium.
Yeah. So I pick her up. She gets in the back seat. I'm like, okay, Miss Daisy, what are we doing here? And she goes, drive, drive, drive. And I'm like, you don't want to sit up front. I'll sit where I want to sit, Bobby. Do you understand me? I'm like, you know how sometimes old people... There comes a fork in the road where old people make a decision in their mind. I'm going to be a really nice old person, or I'm going to be really difficult. And, you know, the nice old people are like, don't you look wonderful today with your head on your shoulders and such? Goodness, how long have you been going with that like that? What a dear you are. You know, the nice old
– Yes.
And the angry old people, they're over at the grocery store at 6 a.m. on Sunday with a coupon in their hand and a nightgown on. And they're like, I want that peanut butter and I want it now.
You just reminded me of a story. A guy you probably – loved Ted Williams.
Yeah.
Stuttering John.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Approached. Did you know about this?
No.
Stuttering John approached Ted Williams once.
Oh, no.
I will never forget this. Ted decided, you know, to go the other way. The, again, I want the peanut butter. I want it now.
Right.
Ted went
that
way.
He started early.
He started early, too.
The fork was about six.
Yeah.
Stuttering John, for people that might not know, on the Howard Stern show.
Yeah.
And he would, like, prank people, I guess is the best way to put it, right?
Yeah, he would go up at press junkets and ask, like, huge legends awful questions that would set them off.
So you will love this because it's just what you're talking about, and it's probably both your hero, Ted Williams. Mm-hmm. I got to actually talk to him one time. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But Stuttering John goes up and starts asking these outlandish questions to Ted Williams, and Ted Williams goes, "Get the fuck out of here with that shit."
Oh, my God. Remember in the end, they used to drive Teddy baseball around Fenway in a golf cart, and he'd be like, "Drive me over there. Pull it up over there faster."
I do remember.
Oh, my God. Well, so that's kind of where my mother, she's taken that road a little bit. Where
the grabby one?
She's starting to get a little bit like that.
That's not good.
So we get to New York City, and I'm from Maine, so I don't know. I pull up in front of 30 Rockefeller Center, and I'm like, "Wow, this looks good." And I don't even get the car in park, and the cop's like, "Get the hell out of here. Get fired up." So I drop my mother, and I park nearby over in New Jersey someplace. And by the time I get back, she's gone. I'd have no idea where she
is. Your mother?
She's gone. And I love my mother, but I really want to be on TV.
Sure.
So I go in. Now, mind you, the whole ride down, my mother's been in the back seat going, this slurping noise. And at one point I went, "What's up with the slurping noise?" "I've got a bad tooth, Bobby." I'm like, "Okay, why didn't we get that pulled before we went on a four-day road trip to New York?" This was her answer, word for word. "I can't pull it, asshole. It's my steak tooth."
Oh, well.
That's what I said. Yeah. I go, "If you're down to the delegation of certain teeth to certain foods, it's time to go Gerber."
Yeah, it
like,
really is.
"Do you have a tooth for chicken and pork as well?" So the whole ride. I'm like, "Oh, my God." Well, I go, "What's up with the noise? I've got to make that noise." And this is word for word what she said because she's getting a little old. She goes, "If I don't make that noise," pointing to her ears now, she says, "it really hurts my areolas." I'm like, "Okay, well, those are your nipples, ma." Uh-huh. To which she said, "No, they're not." And I said, "Okay, because what am I going to say?"
You know, you're going to argue with her.
It's a five-hour ride. I'm going to argue with her where her tits are for 5 hours? No. So we get down there, and I go into the show, and I'm on the show with Juliana Huff from Dancing with the Stars, blonde-haired chick. She's unbelievably good-looking. I'm in the hallway. You know, I've been on like 100 of these shows. She starts walking towards me, and I'm starting to get nervous because she's so beautiful, and she's got an entourage of 9 people with her. I'm from Maine. I have my mother with me, and I can't find her. You know, and as Juliana Huff walks by, I don't know what I said, but I think this is what she heard. "Hi, my name's Bob Marley." "I can't find my mother." So, she's just looking at me like, this guy's an idiot. So Jimmy Fallon goes out, introduces me. He's the nicest guy in the world,
that's
really.
Right here,
what you see is what you get. So introduces me. I go out, I do the first joke, and they start laughing. And when you're on TV, if you're the comedian, it's all in slow motion. In your mind, you're going, oh my God, this is going. The audience is clapping. And you start fantasizing. You're like, my God, this is it. This could put me over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Who's watching right now? Tom Cruise? Maybe I'll be a sidekick. Mission Impossible 12.
I like it.
Something. Somebody clear my schedule. Tell them I can't make the mall in Minnesota. And right before I get to the second joke, there's a little pocket of air. And all I heard and all anybody in the audience heard was, so I'm looking for her now, like Lee Harvey Oswald. I don't know where she is, but you can see it if you YouTube it, because the first joke I look fine. Then I look like I'm paranoid and on crack because I'm searching the audience looking for my – I spot her in the front row. She's sitting there going – I'm like, really? Really? You wouldn't even sit in the front seat of the car. Now you're in the front row ruining me? This is awful.
So you didn't get the job with Tom Cruise.
I didn't get the job with Tom Cruise. The set actually turned out pretty good, but oh, my God. Then we went to the room that night, the hotel. Praise Jesus, there's 2 beds in the hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
You ever see somebody snore and you think to yourself, there's going to be a homicide here tonight. I'm taking her out.
God.
Oh,
God.
Oh, with the mouth wide open, and, you know, it looks like someone just shot her. I'm like, that's a great smell coming out of there, Mom. Did you eat a bowl of shit before you went to bed? This is the worst thing I've ever experienced.
Not very nice with your mother.
I love her, but I'm speaking out of turn here because she doesn't know where I am this weekend. She'll never pick up on the show. But I ended up sleeping in the bathroom. I'm in the tub. An hour ago, I was on TV with Juliana Huff. Now I'm in the tub in the hotel with the shower curtain closed and the door.
Sure.
So I don't hear Sasquatch in there snoring. I'm in there 2 minutes. She comes in, cranks the door open. Get out of the way, Bobby. Word for word. I think I'm going to have gonorrhea.
Well?
I said, diarrhea?
Gonorrhea, Bobby. Gonorrhea. I said, okay, either way. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I felt like Richard Gere in An Officer and a Gentleman. I was like, I got no place else to go.
Well, it's true.
Tevin doesn't know that one because he's too young. Yeah. I got no place else to go.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. But that was the only time. The only other time I brought my parents, my dad passed away now, but I brought them to David Letterman once, and they sat in the front row. I did the first joke, and then I can hear them arguing. I hear my dad going, he's up there now, Masha. If you'd shut it, I could hear what he's saying. And I can hear them. Letterman could probably hear them. I see a page walk down with an ear. We got to waste some done. I'm like going, oh, my God.
You're going to get thrown.
Going to ruin me.
But he's 6'3", 360, and I got to throw him out.
When my dad said do something, because, like, I'm a gangly guy with man boobs and a beer gut. And I'm a buffoon for a living. So when I say do something to my kids go, okay, yeah, we'll get right on that. No problem. Even though they're 10 and 7 and I have a 13-year-old girl as well, they just stare at me like, but when my dad said do something, remarkably, everything got done. Because my dad would say, hey, Bob, brush your teeth before I knock them out of your head. I'm like, okay, just going to change my underwear first. Love you too, Dad. Love you too.
Actually, it's kind of funny because my children
– yeah.
Their godfather, I grew up Catholic myself.
Yeah.
Their godfather is 6'6 and weighs about 360.
Oh, my God.
And his voice is like this, too. He talk big Irish guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, is everybody behaving at the house? Yeah, yeah, they sure are.
They are now.
Yeah, they sure are.
It's all working out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Michael Fitzgibbons is his name.
Oh, man.
Big Irish guy. He claims that he's a direct descendant of... what the hell was it? Braveheart.
William Wallace.
William Wallace, who actually was like Scottish. 6'6 and...
Yeah, big dude
was in real life.
I
didn't know that.
Yeah, in real life, William Wallace was huge.
Wow.
And wasn't he a Norman? I think that's what they say, they're Norman. A lot of Irish people are of Norman descent as well.
Yeah. Yeah, because my dad's got a little scuff, but my mother's 100% Irish, and she won't let you forget it. I mean, she boils steak, and oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
Great New England cuisine.
My wife goes, I don't know why you like Dunkin' Donuts so much. I'm like, I'm used to that dried up, you know, rubbery, chewy type of product.
Bob, my mother was the worst. I loved my mother. I can't tell you how much I love my mother.
Yeah.
The worst cook ever.
Oh, no.
Ever.
We used to have turnip stew. My mother would say, sit down and eat your turnip stew. And I'm like, I would just have my – listen to me. Every kid in this neighborhood would claw for that turnip stew.
Yes,
I'm hot sure. Chunks of turnip and piss-warm milk. It was the worst stuff. She used to take raw turnip, put it in a pan with nothing, and pour milk in. And my dad would eat it and go, jeez. Christ, that's good, Masha. I'm like, really, Dad? Were you in an industrial accident and you burned your taste buds? This is going to be the worst shit I've ever tasted. This is horrible.
I bought my mother because, it's just horrible. Just terrible. So when I started making a little bit of money, I go buy this magnificent ribeye, this beautiful... It was actually is there a ribeye roast?
Yeah.
So the ribeye roast.
It's prime rib.
Beautiful. I guess it is prime rib, right?
Yeah.
So I buy it for her. I say, here, Mom, cook. Because I figured she can't screw that up, right?
Right. Put it in.
So we show up for dinner. There's one Kingsford charcoal briquette. She got it down to about, honestly, God, like 3 inches by 2 inches.
Right.
And it's a briquette.
You just tap it.
Astronaut
it's gone.
Food. Oh, God. Yes, it's astronaut food. She destroyed it.
I years ago, I used to tour with Wynonna Judd, the country singer.
Yeah, sure.
So my parents, we were doing a show out in Vegas. So my parents come out. And they had never been out of Maine, really. And mm-hmm. so my dad gets, you know, gets to the airport, and he's like,
"The hell, look at this ace."
I go, "Where's your suitcase, Dad?" He goes,
"I got it right here. It's a brown grocery bag."
I go, "What's in there?" He goes, "Got some socks, deodorant. Your mother packed a ham sandwich. Let's go." So we get over to the hotel. We go to the Wayne Newton concert.
Sure. Who wouldn't?
And my dad didn't want to go. My mother goes,
"Want to see Newton, Bob? Newton? Newton? Wayne Newton's playing at the Stardust. Newton? Want to see Newton?"
And I'm like, "Dad, what do you want to do?"
"Well, holy shit. Looks like we're going to see Wayne Newton. She's not going to let up on it."
So we get over there. Wayne Newton would come out. And he would start dancing around, and he would, at the beginning of the show, start spying some ladies that he would come and greet. And my mother's standing up, and she's going, "Wayne Newton, the Newton! Wayne! Wayne Newton!" She's freaking out, and my dad goes, "Jesus Christ, here we go." So Wayne Newton comes over, and my mother, he grabs to kiss her hand. She starts kissing him, and my dad's calling him Fig Newton, and wants to fight him, and...
Well, that must have gone comfortably for Wayne Newton.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a melee. So we watch the show, and my dad's just got his head in his hand the whole time. Yeah, we go, Dunk of Shane and all this shit. Let's go. We get back to L.A., and then my mother starts getting an awful headache. And then they fly back to Maine 2 days later, and my dad calls me on the phone.
"Brought your mother to the emergency room last night, Bob." And I said, "Oh, my God, what's going on? Is she all right?" Yeah, no, she's all right. "Shingles. She's got the goddamn shingles." And I said,
"Yeah.
How did she get that?" He goes, "Why don't you ask Wayne Newton?"
I'm like, "I don't believe that's a sexually transmitted disease.
I'm pretty sure it's from chicken pox."
Yeah. But... goddamn Newton. Wouldn't let up on it.
I gotta tell you something in like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Listen to Love Happy Hour with Kaylin Rosenberg, the love architect, author, celebrity matchmaker, and renowned relationship expert, along with producer Kelly Guest. Live every Friday at thelovehappyhour.com, on demand, on iTunes, or on YouTube. The Love Happy Hour weekly on the Tom Bernard Network. So just listening to you tell, I love the way you tell stories.
Oh, thanks. You know, when you grow up like this.
Yeah.
When I first started doing stand-up, I told my mother, because I've been doing it 23 years now, and I love it. And when I first started doing it, I told my mother, I was like, "I'm going to be a comedian." She got her rosary beads out.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
like, "Oh,
yeah.
Jesus, here we go. No benefits. No benefits." Oh, my dad was actually cool about it because my dad was a great football player in high school. And he started all 4 years, but you know, offense, defense. He was a nose guard and a center. He was a big guy. He did really, really well. He goes, "You go for it." He goes, "I never did what I wanted to do." He used to unload trucks and stuff. He worked on cars. And he's like, "So do what you want to do." And my mother goes, "Oh, Jesus, do what you want to do. Why doesn't everybody just be free? No need to work. No need to have benefits."
So
I went down. Carly Simon used to have a place on Martha's Vineyard called the Hot Tin Roof.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going down. She would never be there, but it's her club. And so I was going down to play that club once. And my mother goes, "Where are you off to this week?" And I said, "Martha's Vineyard. Your father and I have never been." And my dad goes, "We don't need it. I don't want to go. I don't give a shit." And my mother goes, "I'd like to go." So they end up going down there with me. So on the ride down, we stop at Dunkin' Donuts. My mother eats a couple blueberry muffins. And then we get on the ferry boat. And my dad goes, "Jesus Christ, there's a ship." And I go, "We're going to an island, Dad." And he goes, "I know we're going to an island, wise ass. I was in the Navy." He goes, "During the war." I go, "What war was that, between the Vineyard and Nantucket?" So we're on the ferry boat, and my mother's eating clam chowder like they might not ever make clam chowder again.
Sure.
And my dad goes, "Jesus Christ, look at her over there. Spend, spend, spend." So I wish I could make this up. We get off the boat, and we're walking down the wharf, and my mother goes, "Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez." My dad goes, my dad didn't even turn around. He goes, "Here we go. Here we go." So my mother goes, "Oh, Jesus, I have the chowder and the muffins. I can't move. I can't move." She's straddling a bench on the end of the wharf at Martha's Vineyard. And my dad goes, "The hell would you like me to do, Masha?"
And she goes, well, he goes, get off the bench and walk across the street to the hotel. And she goes, I can't get off this bench, Bob. I got three of those muffins peeking out of my ass right now.
So this is awful because my mother at this point is probably like in her late 50s, early 50s or something like that. So maybe late 50s, right? And so my dad goes, what shall we do, Masha? And she goes, rent a car. And he goes, we don't need a car. And she goes, but rent one just to get me. The hotel's probably 600 yards to get me over there. So we go to rent a car. There's nothing left except a Jeep with the things. So I'm pulling up with a Jeep. I go, this is all I can have. But we go to hoist her into the Jeep. And long story short, she shit her pants. So, which isn't good if you have a nice Alfred Dunner outfit on.
Yeah.
So we go to the show that night, and I'm up on stage. Things are going pretty good. And I see my dad raise his hand from the audience. I go, yes, sir. He goes, sir. He goes, how about dad, asshole? I go, hello, dad. And he goes, well, you know, this stuff's all right. Tell him about your mother today shitting herself on the wharf. I go, I believe you just did, dad. I believe you just did.
It's a nice touch, though.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. I mean...
Do you think it's a Catholic thing?
Yeah.
It is a Catholic
thing. Oh, yeah. They, you know, my whole family is, put it this way, I'm the most normal person in my family. Yeah, and I'm not right.
I understand. I understand completely. This is a different Irish family than what I was just talking about earlier.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine, Irish guy, Irish Catholic, from New York.
Yeah.
His son married a Korean woman.
Yeah.
Now, the Korean woman grew up in Minnesota.
Yeah.
American. She's American.
Yeah.
Right? So it's time to meet my friend's father. And let's just say his name is Bob.
Yeah.
Because it was. Irish Catholic guy, fought in the war. You know,
yeah.
WW2, you always heard about that.
Yeah.
And everything was Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph. Everything.
Right.
So it's time to introduce the new girlfriend, soon to be bride of his grandson. So he brings her over and goes, Grandpa, this is my, I don't want to say the name, right? This is my girlfriend. And Bob leans over and goes, do you speak English?
Jesus. That's the tip. That is the typical, and he's not even being a wise ass. They just say what they're thinking.
No, he's just saying what he's thinking.
My dad,
at
his weight, 360, you know, 6'3", not at all in good shape.
No.
We would ride down the road. He'd see a guy on a bicycle, and he'd go, look at this asshole. Jesus Christ, with the tight shorts. What are you going, 3 miles today? And we saw a guy had a little power bar shoved into the sleeve of his shirt. He goes, power bar, Jesus Christ, better pull over and refuel for your 20-minute ride. He's got a little mirror sticking off the helmet.
Yeah.
So we come to a red light, and the guy stops, and the guy's like trying to balance himself so he doesn't fall.
Sure.
You know how they do that at the lights, these real serious bikers. So my dad rolls down the window. He goes, hey, I see you got a little mirror. Now you can see what an asshole you are.
What is the guy going to do? Get the shit beat out of him?
No, it's unbelievable. My whole family is just, we had recently Easter at my house, and my dad's gone now. And even on his deathbed, I could make him laugh.
Really?
He had a good sense of humor. He was in the ICU for 11 months, and he finally died. And I would lean over him, and I'd time it just right. I'd wait for the nurse to walk by, and I'd go, I'm going to ask you one more time, Dad. Where's the money? And he would laugh like hell. But my whole family comes over for Easter now. My wife, because I'm 47 now, so I'm at the worst possible age you can be as a dad, as a person. Because I'm in charge of everybody older than me, and I'm in charge of everybody younger than me. And we have family functions, and all the old people come towards me. And all the kids are like, you know, everybody's right up my ass.
Right.
And I said to my wife, I don't want to have it here. Let's go to the brunch over at the Holiday Inn.
Sure.
As suggested by Aunt Teresa. And my wife goes, it would just be so nice, though, if we could have everybody. And because we did so much work to the house. I'm like, maybe one by one they come in and see it. You know,
not on the same day either.
It sounds good, right? But there's always that moment when they're pulling into the driveway and you're looking out the window and you're going, they're here. Holy shit, they're here. And there's always the relatives that don't get the note. You know, you say show up at 2 and they show up at 1:15. Who are these people? They sit in their khakis all morning waiting to go to your house. And then we invite them in. We're like, oh, come on in. We hope we're not late. No, you're an hour early, as a matter of fact. And then you're running around trying to get stuff together. Well, there's no need to run around. No, there is a need to run around. You're an hour early, you know.
They'd fit right in Minnesota. There's a whole state full of people.
Unbelievable. Oh, yeah. My favorite relative is my Uncle Jimmy. He shows up. He never has stayed for any event. He rings, knocks the door. I can't stay, Bobby. It was a gift card for Walmart. It's $100. You guys look great. The kids look great. I got to go. I love you. And my wife goes, he's the nicest guy. I'm like, yeah, because you don't know him.
He doesn't stay.
So we have the big dinner. There's 16 people. My wife has busted her ass. We've got the ham laid out, everything. And my cousin Wayne shows up from Westbrook. Wayne's 5'4". He weighs 372. All right, now, I have no issues with people of certain weights because everybody goes up and down and has situations. I don't care that he weighs 372. I don't care that there's a lot of heavy breathing during talking. I don't care that I've had to go and make a chair. I had to get it welded from BIW. Bath Iron Works was a shipbuilding place in Maine.
Sure.
And I keep it in the basement, and when Wayne comes over, I don't care that I've got to get a couple buddies to lug the steel chair up. I don't care. But I do care what your dinner conversation is at the Easter table. So he's at the head of the table because he has to be there because he's the biggest guy and won't fit in the middle of the table.
Right.
So he's sitting there, and at some point he goes, well, I'm probably just going to say it here. I'm probably just come out and say it while I'm thinking of it. And everyone, the whole room gets quiet, and everybody is like, oh, Wayne might have a terminal illness. Maybe he's losing the house.
Sure.
Maybe something happened to his IRA. We don't know.
Right.
He goes, probably just going to say it. And I can't, I can't wipe my ass no more. And I was like, come again? And he goes, I can't wipe. No, I go, that's what I thought you said. You can't wipe your ass no more. That's what you opened with, huh, Wayne?
How's that?
And the whole room is completely quiet, except me, because I'm a little investigative, because, you know, he has basically ruined dinner at this point.
Right.
When someone opens with that, you know, might as well go to Burger King at this point. So I go, what do you mean by that, Wayne? He goes, well, Jesus, Bob. Jesus. And he does air quotes to me. He goes, if you must know. I go, well, no, I don't need to must know, but that's what you opened with. And as I didn't want to know that, and as that was the furthest thing from my mind, you definitely have me interested now as to what I'm, you know. He goes, well, I can't quite get around there no more. And I go, okay, at the risk of sounding like a jerk here, and I'm going to, this didn't sneak up on you.
You woke up one day and his arms were short.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you didn't just reach back and go, what the hell's going on? Somebody did. Somebody T-Rexed me. So at this point, everybody's looking at me and they're rolling their eyes like, come on, Bob, just glaze over it. And because my Aunt Teresa's like, I saw Shaw's has some pork that's cheaper. I'm like, we're getting back to the pork in a second, Teresa. Right now we're sticking with this Wayne thing here that we're hot and heavy on. And so, because I was curious, as many other people are, as some of the listeners would be right now, how does he do it? How does this crafty little bastard wipe his ass? Because that goes through the head at some point. So I just simply said it. I go, how do you wipe your ass, Wayne? And right then I heard all the forks hit the plate. And my mother got a rosary pizza.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And so this is what he said. Are you ready? He goes, are you salad tongs? I go, salad tongs? How many utensils you go through before you get to tongs? Did you try a pizza cutter and a melon ball or two? He goes, no, Jesus, Bob. He goes, I stick the toilet tissue in the tongs. I get around there, and I go, did-lit-dit-dit-dit. I go, okay, well, I, for one, am objecting to the sound effect that you've applied to your 372-pound fat locker. You and I both know it wasn't did-lit-dit-dit. And he is married, and his wife, my cousin Patricia, Patty, she's nice-looking. And because he's a sweetheart of a guy, and, you know, it matters what's on the inside and all that shit. But anyway, That is quite a relationship. I mean, if you have one spouse that is, you know, strapped to the toilet going, hey, baby.
Salad
get
tongs.
My salad. Bring a grill brush too. It's gonna be a long week. It's gonna be a long week.
Christ.
Oh, family.
All right, we
happy
gotta take a
holidays.
Break. Here. We'll be back with more of Bob Marley's family. He's at House Rick Bronson's House of Comedy all weekend long. Tonight, tomorrow night. Saturday. You doing a Sunday show?
Doing a Sunday show.
Doing a Sunday
yeah.
show as well. We'll be back in 90 seconds from the renterswarehouse.com studios. More at the TomBernardShow.com. I have a good reason to be talking today to Mike Bryant of the law firm of Bradshaw & Bryant.
Other than I'm one of the nicest people you know.
Well, that too. Now, today I need some legal advice.
I'll do my best. We always do our best for all of our clients.
Okay, here's my problem. I think I have a libel case for you to handle.
Okay, give me the facts.
Okay, the facts are I've been accused of being a bigoted, racist asshole.
Okay. I think a jury would be convinced, based on your statement, that there is no place for racism, that you hired the first black co-host for a radio show in the market, and that you grew up in North Minneapolis, that you couldn't, by any stretch of the imagination, be guilty of racism.
Well, thank you for that.
Easy money for Bradshaw and Bryant. The facts show the person was uttering the canard, was had libeled you, defamed you, and damaged your reputation.
And he also called me an asshole. What can you do for me there?
Honestly?
Well, yeah, of course.
In libel, truth is an affirmative defense.
You mean if I am an asshole and he calls me an asshole, I have no complaint?
I'm just saying.
Tommy Mischke and Tom Bernard from Midwest Fence. Todd's in studio. You gave him a call, said, come on down.
Good to have a guy from Midwest Fence here. I did ads for Midwest Fence for years when I was on the radio, and you guys have quite a sweet deal going right now if you get a fence this spring.
Yeah, we have a couple deals going right now. We'll give you a $250 off your fence for a minimum purchase, no interest, no payments for 12 months, no monthly payment if you pay it off within the first 12 months. We also have a very popular cash up front, 5% off. If you pay for that fence when you purchase it in full, we will give you an additional 5% off.
So you get a fence this May. You don't have to pay for it till May 2015. No interest.
Correct.
Gotta love that.
Now we're talking.
Midwest Fence, serving the metro and beyond. See us online at MidwestFence.com. That's MidwestFence.com for $250 off any fence project.
The Rusty Gate & B Review podcast on the Tom Bernard Network. The Rusty Gate & B Review is the entertaining show about entertainment. Rusty Gate & B will give you his opinion about upcoming movies, restaurants, music, or events, and will also feature in-studio guests. The Rusty Gate & B Review, find it at therustygateandbereview.com. That's therustygateandbereview.com on YouTube or on the Tom Bernard Network page. Bob Marley's with us. He is at Rick Bronson's House Comedy tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday, and a Sunday show as well. You get out there and hear about Irish Catholic families.
Oh, man. Great club over there, too.
It's it that, is. Beautiful club.
The mall is – I've never been to the mall. It's amazing. You can
– It is.
I mean, you go on and on and on. They got cool stuff, and we have malls where I live, but it's nothing like this. And the club is really nice, and staff's great. And so it's a good place.
Seven.
You know, that's a good thing about comedy, though. You can bring a date, and you don't have to – it's a great first date, right, because you can get a read on what they laugh at.
Yeah.
And you could still talk a little. True. So it's not as bad as a movie or whatever. But I do – I talk about my family a lot. I was at my mother's about a week ago, and – all my Irish Catholic aunts in the living room just sitting there staring at each other. Nobody saying anything for an hour. And I'm like, oh, my God. They've all got the same look, the disapproving facial look with the just completely miserable. And my Nana's there. My Nana's 89. She's at the age now where she just noises just come out of her mouth. She's like, I'm like, are you barking at me, Nana?
What the hell's going on?
I'm like, Ma, something's up with Nana. She's fine. I'm like, sounds like she's running out of air. I don't know. My mother proceeds to tell us a story about a pain in her stomach that she had. And when people get past 70-something, whatever, she's 73 now, I think. So when she gets to that age where, you know, the stories become longer and longer and longer, and they never get to the point, it's painful. And so we're all sitting there, and she starts, and she goes, oh, Jesus. Last, I want to say Friday. I love it how they say, I want to say. Just say it. Don't ask.
It might have been Thursday. I got my hair done Friday. I don't like what they're doing with it anymore. It's just, you know, God. Could have been Tuesday. In my head, I'm going, it doesn't matter, Ma. Unless we're conducting a homicide investigation, this doesn't matter. But my aunts don't give a shit. They're all, they got nothing to do, so they're all looking at her going, God, she can weave words. What an emotional roller coaster she's bringing us on Thursday, Friday, hair done, maybe Tuesday. I'm sticking around to the end of this blockbuster. So she goes on with the story. I had a pain in my stomach. I was up to Shaw's grocery store. Might have been Hannaford's grocery store. I was in the chicken aisle. Could have been pork aisle. They got pork now on sale up there at Hannaford's. I'm like, oh, my God.
So what she had was a I had to bring her for a colonoscopy.
Oh, God.
Which is not an appointment you want to accompany your mother to.
No.
So we get in there, and now they're doing 85 of these a day, like a Jiffy Lube or something. Maybe not a good analogy, but we get in there. It's not even a room. They've just curtained it off like you're trying on jeans at the Gap. It's me and my mother and the doctor, and the doctor goes, "Now, Bob, do you want to do you want to stay for the procedure?" And I go, "I don't even what is it?" And he goes, "Do you want to stay for the procedure? It's very interesting." I go, "Yeah, I know, but you know what's not interesting is watching my mother disrobe and you placing a Kodak in her rear end." I'm going to pass on that. That is low on my bucket list. Not only am I not going to be here, I'm going to be in my pickup truck driving 100 miles an hour looking for a tree. Trying to forget you just said that. So she was okay. She was okay. But anything medicinal to deal with people once they get real old like that, they love talking about the medical stuff. And sometimes it's too much information. I'm in the living room with my mother. She goes, "Bobby, did you hear about Beverly Peterson?" I go, "I did." "In the hospital." I go, "That's too bad. I hope she does better." "Uh-huh." Word for word, next sentence, this is what she says. "They put a stent in her vagina." That's what I said. In my head, I was going,
"He's a doctor."
Yeah. Why would they do that? Secondly, why would they tell me?
She had uterine prolapse, so they were just holding it up in the pessary they used. Yeah.
Right. So she mentions this, and my nana now, mind you, it's hard to hear. My nana goes, "What?" So my mother's yelling at my nana, "Put a stent in her vagina." And
a vagina and a stent in vagina.
And I'm like, "I'll give you both $1,000 if you stop saying vagina." It's unbelievably unsettling to me. It's just not, going to.
No,
so it doesn't end there. My mother goes, "Jesus, I don't know. I guess they had a hard time getting it in there as well. Had to get a running start or something. I don't know." That's wonderful, Mom. Now, now that you've armed me with the information, what shall I do with it next time I see Beverly Peterson? Just, "Hi, Beverly. How's the vagina stent going?" Heard they had to pole vault it in there.
Yeah,
Hope all is well. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It's a prolapsed vagina?
No, prolapsed uterus. The uterus can,
oh, the uterus.
After birthing, the muscles get weak and it can.
Yeah, prolapse. See, we could have, I could have used you, pulled you aside and like a translator at that moment.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's just
don't worry about a thing.
Way too much information. And, you know, and I'm surrounded. I love my family, but my wife suggested about 10 days ago when I was home, it was actually warm enough to swim. My wife goes, "So nice. Let's have a pool party. Invite everybody over." I'm like, "Wayne?" She goes, "Not Wayne. No.
Not Wayne.
Wayne's not able to wipe." Probably not enough chemicals.
Not enough chemicals.
So they're all at the house. My nana's in the pool swimming with my two boys, 10 and 7, and they have no filter on their mouth. And the whole family's just like 40 people. I'm barbecuing. I'm running around, getting ice. I'm doing everything. Everything. I'm doing everything. And so my nana's in the pool. And she's swimming towards the boys, and the boys are like, "She smells so bad. She's stinky. Swim away now." I'm like, "And she's right in front of you." You know, and at one point, this is, I wish I could make this up, about an hour into her third lap around the pool, her left titty fell out of her suit.
Oh.
That's what we did. Exactly what you just did. We did the same thing. We went, It was all in slow motion, too. It was like, and we were like, "No." And my two boys had mouths were just agape, like the kids in Jaws. Remember in Shock when they were in Shock and Jaws? And I didn't want to look, but for some reason, I wanted to look real quickly. I don't know why. It was the titty. I'm a man. I was just like, I got to look. I got to see this. Not from a sexual standpoint, right. But from a, like, Ripley's standpoint.
Yes. Ripley's.
So I look. You ever seen, like, a summer squash, like a gourd, like a decorative, unrelated, just asking, kind of bulbous with a long stem, many colors.
Green thing?
Yes, yes.
Yes. And no areolas, though.
Right. My wife is yelling at me, do something. Do something. I'm like, do something? Who am I, the titty whisperer? I don't have a flute. I can't play it back into the basket. You know, I'm not a titty wrangler. I'm like, yeah, come on now, titty. Titty! Come on, girl.
And what were you supposed to do?
I don't know. I yelled at her. I was like, Nana, because clouds had just come in at that point. I'm like, your titty's out. And I'm yelling, but trying not to yell. She's a little, and she looks up and goes, it is, it's shitty out. I'm like, no, your titty is out. My titty's out. And she looked and she was like, ah. She was frightened as much as we were, you know. And she's just, there it is. And I'm like, yes. Put it away.
Put it away.
You know, I don't know if I should have called my buddies who are all Irish cops and get them over there with their guns out. Put the titty away!
Yes, it would have been a good idea.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Marley tonight at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy. Tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday night, and Sunday as well. Bob, thank you so much for coming.
I can't thank you enough for having me, and I hope people get a chance to get out this weekend. It's bmarley.com on the website. It's Bob Marley Comedy on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks again. Appreciate it.
We'll talk to you tomorrow on the KQ Morning Show. We'll talk about Randy Kirschbaum.
Yeah.
It'll be fabulous.
Randy, killer Kirschbaum.
Thanks for listening. Yes, killer Kirschbaum. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.